You're listening to the European Uppercut podcast in association with Siren 107.3 FM. Tonight, I had the opportunity to sit down with the rising star, Tommy Ryder. And what a fantastic interview it was. We hope that you enjoy the show. Check out more of the European Uppercut podcast and Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. But now it's time for my interview with Tommy Ryder.
This is a Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network.
I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm
You're listening to the European Uppercut podcast in association with Siren 107.3 FM. My name's Kai Valentine, and this is a new segment of the show where we're going to be looking into the profiles of some of Fight Factory Wrestling's roster. Yes, and for the first week, I couldn't think of anyone better than my guest in the studio with me now. It's Mr. Tommy Ryder. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing very good, thank you.
So, Tommy, you are here today to talk all about your career so far.
Yeah, I mean, my career, I've recently just been passing 4 years of doing this. It's crazy. It hurts, but it's a very crazy thing.
Yeah, I can totally, I've never actually taken a bump in the ring. It may have to happen one day, but I'll take your word for it now. So you say you've been doing this for 4 years now, and that's extraordinary, seeing as though you are only 16 years old.
Yeah. I first started, I think, you know, thinking of maths around late 12, 13, and I jumped right in with seniors. So I wasn't in any junior classes or anything like that. So I got used to high intensity straight away. My first session, which wasn't with Fight Factory, had me jumping from the top rope to the outside onto mats. And then the next session was a battle royal training. So, I mean, that's completely different to what you'd expect. But I got thrown right in the deep end. And as much as sometimes, you know, I wish I didn't start so early, because you're still growing, so it's going to hurt you a lot more in your future, it's something that I definitely wouldn't change.
What's it like being a professional wrestler who is, you know, young, but in the industry? How do your opponents see it? When, like, obviously in Fight Factory Wrestling and in the Lincoln area, everyone knows who you are, but and they know that you're a great worker in the ring and someone that can be trusted. When you go up or you go out to other promotions, what is it like when a 16-year-old guy turns up and they say, "You're working with this guy tonight"? How do they react?
Well, funny story. About a year ago, a year and a half ago, I wrote just a simple Facebook status talking about wrestling, but it was quite an immature one, not making digs at anyone. It was just a simple, you know, I'm here and I'm a very young wrestler. I had two very experienced wrestlers coming under that, starting an argument. I won't mention names, but starting an argument about how I shouldn't be wrestling at this age. Completely trying to sort of, you know, oh, he'll just get himself hurt. And at first, it seemed like they really cared. But then it got to a point where it was just trying to dig. And I'll mention this as well. Miss Rebecca defended me so much on that. And all I had to say was, I'll tell you what, watch my matches, then see if I shouldn't be here. Because there is a fine difference between being young to the point you can't do it, but there's also being young and still being able to do it. If that makes sense, you know, and I like to think of myself as quite a mature person. So never am I going to be my age sort of stereotype when it comes to this, because no one's going to appreciate that. And when I go to outside shows and, you know, they say the promoter tells me, right, Tommy, you're on with this guy. Occasionally, they'll sort of look at me at first and think, you know, oh, who, what's this? You know, why am I facing someone quite young? But then they'll finish working with me and they'll be like, oh, I had so much fun. And it'll be like, do you see? It's just, it's not, doesn't matter about the age. Like, the Knight family, for example, they started, I'm pretty sure I can say this clearly, they've all started ridiculously young. Zach, Roy, Ricky Knight Jr., all very young. Literally, the moment they were born, they were thrown into a wrestling ring. You know? So that's the thing. It doesn't matter of your age, just as long as you are committed to doing this. And people will sometimes look at my size and my physique and think, you know, you're definitely not a wrestler. You know, like I sent a CV out to a promotion that was asking for wrestlers and they said, we're looking for more older, in shape kind of guys. And I sort of thought, okay, I'm going to take that on board and I'll be back in a year because when a year passes, I want them to see that I'm going to be a much bigger deal than I was. And that's not to sound arrogant. It's more of a drive to do better, to be at this place in a year's time with a better physique. But I can't look older, but I'll be too good for them not to say you can't join in.
I kind of find it amazing that someone is complaining that you are too young, but then complaining that you don't have the body of someone who is, say, a little bit more mature in years and has had the opportunity to fully have a developed body. What do you say to people who... what do you say to these people who are saying that you're not in the right shape to be a wrestler or the right size to be a wrestler?
I tell them to look at people like the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. He had such a dad bod. it was unbelievable. But he was one of the best talkers during his time. And that, you know, got him so popular. And then we're looking at people now. Kevin Owens, you know, recently lost a Universal title. That makes me sad. But, you know, he's an excellent wrestler. Daniel Bryan made... Almost, I feel like he paved a way for people with average sizes, average, you know, build, and CM Punk, obviously, in WWE, which is meant to be big guy world, to be accepted as, if you're a good wrestler who can get the crowd on your side or against you, then you can succeed. And obviously, that not every single time a wrestler would come in small, they're going to instantly succeed, because not everyone can. That's just that's the bad thing about wrestling. Not everyone can succeed. But from what you can see, there's a whole new era of wrestling where people are more looking forward to seeing the cruiserweights, the junior heavyweights, wink, wink, the smaller ones on the shows. Because as much as, you know, once again, just going back to WWE for a second, Braun Strowman and Big Show, fantastic match. Really good. Two big guys... Yeah, you know, going hold for hold. But then if you look at, you know, indie wrestling, you'll see two small guys, two vanilla midgets. I use that air quotes there. but they're putting on match of the night. And everyone's wanting to talk about people like that. That's why the Cruiserweight Classic was such a big deal, because everyone was so excited. Like, oh yeah, I can't wait for Zack Sabre Jr. versus Noam Dar. They weren't looking forward to Ryback versus Big Show on NXT. They were looking forward to, you know, two small indie darlings. And that, to me, is a perfect thing that I try to explain. Just kind of, well, I have confidence in my ability. You know, this is sort of, if you wanted me on the show for the wrestling but couldn't because of my size, just give me a shot and you'll see that that doesn't matter.
Let's take things back to Fight Factory Wrestling now, and I want to talk about your first day there. So you'd spent a year wrestling a promotion in Grimsby before you came to Fight Factory.
Yeah.
What was it like on your first day when you stepped into Fight Factory Wrestling's academy?
Well, I knew Hayden before Fight Factory because he used to train at the same place. I saw him break his wrist and all sorts, so he already knew me, and I travelled down with... Ellie Rollins, who's going to be part of this Academy Uprising show, and Annie Mae Richards, and we pretty much walked in, and we were greeted with open arms straight away. I mean, because we trained primarily in a boxing ring, that caught me by surprise a little bit, because it hurts. But, you know, I jumped right into it, and, you know, no one... There wasn't really anyone that rubbed me the wrong way, to be honest. It was just, it was a nice environment, and I was just happy to be there.
Because, just to set the scene for people, and you mentioned about a boxing ring there, people will have seen over the last couple of years that when you look at, say, the WWE Performance Center, they have so much money as a huge worldwide corporation to put into getting so many exact rings that can be used for training. This is no slight on Fight Factory Wrestling. This is something that a lot of independent promotions are like. Sometimes you've got to start off that way in rings like you say, a boxing ring, and the equipment isn't as high-tech as they would ever want you to be trained with.
No, I mean, recently we've got our own new premises, so we've not got, you know, we're not using the boxing ring anymore. We're finally sort of bringing it. Fight Factory... owned by Sean, I can't remember his name, I do apologise, but he helped us, you know, so much. Without him, we wouldn't be able to have had anywhere. So now that we've got our own Academy premises, which should be opening around, if we get like the permission to be able to open it, the middle of April kind of time, it's going to be in South Highcombe near Pennell's Garden. Centre? Yeah, I think that's right.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, somewhere around there. I mean, we've got, you know, normally it's with current situation with Fight Factory, we have occasional seminars, but we normally talk by Dutch, who's, yeah, he's excellent, you know, without a doubt. He's current heavyweight champion. But we're going to be getting guys like Flex Buffington in to do quite a lot. Joey Osborne, once the suspension is over with. Even Dale Preston, which is a bit of a bit of an awkward one, but I tell you what, I'm looking forward to it because he is still a veteran, and you know, we've got seminars coming up very soon at the current training facility with Magnus and Nathan Cruz, which you can get, you know, if you're an existing trainee, you can purchase your way into that on www.fightfactorywrestling.uk and look into events.
I gotta admit, everything that I've seen, and I've seen how hard Hayden and Becker are working on this entire project of this new Academy Centre as well, and the fact that this is going to be the next step in development for Fight Factory Wrestling. It's grown over the last couple of years that they, since it was born in 2013, am I correct?
Yes, I think it was, yeah, definitely, yeah, 2013.
It's been growing so much, and this is the next step to dominance of the Lincolnshire area, I must say.
Well, I started training before we even had our first wrestling ring. And, of course, you know, unfortunate for the reasons, but how we managed to get that ring was because, sadly, Hayden's mum passed away, and of course, you know, with her, I'm very young, so I don't know the terms for this, so I do apologise if I get this wrong, but, you know, a sort of inheritance, I suppose, the way to put it, you know, and with that money, we were able to put towards the Academy and towards getting this wrestling ring, and that's exactly what she wanted, you know, of us. You know, she wanted to be at wrestling shows to watch and support. That's why Body Slams to Cancer is such an important event, because that was based off, you know, Hayden's mum and her memory and her wanting to go and watch a wrestling show. So that's why we do that. And honestly, without her, we wouldn't have been able to grow so much. That's why we always continue to have her, you know, spirit-wise at every single show we've got. And, you know, she's always looking down on Fight Factory.
Every time I've had Becker and Dutch on the show, you can tell as soon as the conversation turned, well, every time they've been on, the conversation has turned to Dutch's mother, because it's just, she was just such an integral part of the growth of Fight Factory Wrestling, and seeing that, how, even though it's such a bittersweet moment in a way, that it was her inheritance that she left that has helped grow Fight Factory Wrestling, but it's so great that her memory is still living on, and it's being able to train and grow the business in Lincoln.
Exactly. I mean, you know, for people like Hayden's mom, and for people that have passed away in my life of, you know, cancer and other things, that's why now the gear that I recently wore at the last Body Slams, I just keep now. I have around with me all the time. And if you've noticed, I have multicolours on the sides. That's just different cancer ribbon colours for every single cancer that's been, like, affected my family. So it's almost like war paint, just without actual paint, because it's kind of, you know, these are people that are supporting me, looking down on me. It's probably one of my most personal sets of, you know, gear, and, you know, it's one that I always make sure to wear if it's a sort of match where I'm not feeling too hot, but, you know, I'm wanting to put the best show on as possible, and it kind of helps me in a way of, you know, get your head out of it. These people have, you know, they had their last, you know, year or a few months being who they are, being what they want to be. So I'm sure you can push for something you want to be tonight, you know.
It's one thing that I've also found when I've spoken to a lot of the guys from Fight Factory Wrestling. I remember a couple of months ago, just before the last Body Slams to Cancer event, we had DDI on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this was before his latest run with the Ripper, and he was before all the steamy window stuff. He was still big, brash, and in a really bad mood that day. But as soon as we mentioned about Body Slams to Cancer, I still remember what he said when he turned around and went, "Look, it doesn't matter what my thoughts are on Dutch or anything like that. What matters is about us raising as much money for cancer, because it's the most important thing, and everyone can relate and has had, it seems like everyone's had an experience where a friend, family member, or themselves have had a run-in with cancer."
Mm. Well, obviously, Body Slams to Cancer, we like to call our WrestleMania, because it's sort of the event that makes everything a whole, it's a full circle sort of event. You know, we've had big moments, and a little bit of a fact, actually, a little bit of history. I was the first ever entrant into the D. Mansell Memorial Rumble. Entrant number one at the first ever Body Slams. That almost makes me feel old, which is quite weird. But I remember it just now, how I wrapped a Tommy Ryder shirt in between, like, my shorts, thinking that Dolph Ziggler style, thinking that'll definitely stay there. I come out, instantly drops. So my big dramatic entrance at my first proper show, entering number one, because it opened the show, the Rumble that year, and it just drops. And you can see on the hard cam, me just go down and grab it. I just put it in my mouth and just walk around with a shirt in my mouth. It was a very awkward situation, but, oh, you know, gosh. You'll be able to tell from the first Body Slams to the third one just how much has changed in all of us.
Definitely. So let's talk now about, we talked a little bit about your training down at Fight Factory Wrestling, and I want to dive deeper into that. So is it Dutch that is there training you on a weekly basis?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we do get people like Flex come in for a random session. Robbie X, who's also going to be doing a bit of training at this new premises as well. Brilliant young high flyer, very underrated in my opinion. But yeah, he comes down sometimes, and, you know, he's helped me, you know, so much myself. You know, me and Rob have had two matches against each other, and I've learned so much just from that. So yeah, those two, Joey as well. Every name that I mentioned coming to the new premises has helped before, and, you know, still help now. But Hayden primarily does do some of the teaching. Sometimes he'll ask for help from, say, me or Eliza Rue or Edward Ripper, you know, but it's not, we still learn. We're always still learning. You can never stop learning. But, you know, with new people that are coming up as well, it's always good to be able to pass off advice that you know yourself.
How does it feel at 16 years old being asked to help with the training?
I always imagine when I'm talking to sort of new trainees that don't really know who I am because it's their first sort of experience altogether, when I'm talking them through, you know, the initial bumping or locking up, I feel like they just look at me and kind of go, I'm not being told what to do from a 16-year-old child, you know. And at the same time, I do respect that, because when you've got a lot of pride, having a 16-year-old boy come up to you and tell you what's what, it's a bit, you know, you feel a bit destroyed inside. But some people take it well, and those are the people that I focus on the most. You know, Brett the Magic Myers, he's such a cool guy as well, and, you know, I've got a lot of time for him. I mean, you know, we're good friends at training as well, and I had so many training matches with him, and he reminds me, this is weird saying this at 16 again, but he reminds me a lot of when I first started. not too young, not at the same age, but, you know, he's watching his match Origins, which is on YouTube now at the Fight Factory Wrestling YouTube page.
Wow, it was such a great match.
You know, he performed moves that, you know, I've done myself, you know, Satellite DDT, which he did really well, and it was moves like that. I mean, he could have asked me first, but it was stuff like that where I saw, you know, wow, that was, you know, that reminds me a lot of myself. And that was weird to think at first that, you know, I'm not saying he took inspiration from me in the slightest. I'm just saying it was cool to be able to look back at my own matches and see that I've done that against similar big opponents, and then compare it to Will Cruz versus Brett Myers and think, you know, wow, that was, you know, that was so, it was almost like a mirror, you know, like me versus Styx, which is on YouTube now on our older Fight Factory weekly thing, episode 3.
Cheap plug.
Yeah, definitely. It's got quite a lot of views, I'm just saying. But yeah, comparing it to that match and just seeing how cool it is to maybe have had a piece of inspiration is a really cool thing. I mean, you know, being a wrestler, you know, and having one person be into what you're doing, or having one trainee, you know, ask you for advice is so cool. Like, I always say to Fight Factory trainees, if you've got any questions and Hayden's busy or the other sort of semi-pros are busy, always feel free to talk to me, because I always make time for you. And I've been asked questions from people in the past of stuff that I can sort of help them with, and, you know, I like to imagine that I do all right.
Hey, you're listening to Robbie X. Make sure you check out European Uppercut Podcast. Robbie X.
Sometimes I get a good feeling. I want to go to something that you said earlier when you were saying that you were saying when you were watching the Brett Myers match that you were thinking in your mind, oh, that reminds me of me when I first started. That I remember somebody else saying about you, and that was in Louth Town Hall on the night that you faced Robbie X. I remember him picking up the mic afterwards, which his mother told me afterwards that he doesn't do very often, so that you should be really, really happy about. And what was that night like for you? Because personally, that was one of the best matches that I've seen live in person.
Well, the build-up to that show was quite a weird one, because obviously we had Dutch and Miss Rebecca versus Eliza and King Kendo, and we had Aiden Drake versus El Aguero. And before the show, there was no idea where these matches were going to be. You know, I didn't assume, but I was hearing things from different people, like, oh yeah, you might be main event. And that was cool. You know, you might be the match right before the interval or whatever. So I didn't have a clue what to expect. I didn't know whether we would open it or what. So I got there, you know, and it was such a weird feeling looking at this big town hall after the setup, which was ridiculous, carrying it up all those stairs. And it was awful. But yeah, we did it. But then it was just looking around and thinking, you know, Robbie X is a guy that I can honestly say is a hero of mine when it comes to British wrestling, a guy that I like to sort of, you know, take a lot of inspiration from, a guy that's young himself, that has faced the best in the world, you know, names like Prince Devitt, Jay Lethal, Johnny Gargano, and, you know, so many more names. It's just endless. But, you know, getting the chance to wrestle him, I was pretty nervous. So as it was getting to showtime and I was putting on my gear and stuff like that, I was thinking more in my head about how, you know, because Robbie taught me a little bit back at my during my first year, and he taught me how to do suplexes. That's how new I was when I first met Robbie, and he had long hair and he had the worst kick pad covers you've ever seen that never stayed on his kick pads. But yeah, you know, he's so good and he's so underrated. So, you know, finally going out there, I needed to have a pep talk from everyone because I was like, I'm going to go wrestle Robbie X. And it was crazy. And I've told him this countless times that I'm such a fanboy in a sense. But, you know, after I had the match, you know, and after I was breathing out my soul because I was so knackered, and it was such a warm venue as well, to hear Rob get on the microphone and give me that praise, and then we, you know, challenge me to a title match when he won the title, was just such a cool moment. And to be able to sort of hug him backstage and say thank you for that was such a cool moment as well. And we've had another match, you know, since then. We had one in Gainsborough, which it's a shame you couldn't be there because, in my opinion, it was better than the Louth match.
Ah, yeah, I have heard that, actually. A couple of people have said that to me, that you've just had a great run of matches. When do you want to see the next installment? There's got to be a part three.
See, I've been trying to push for it to happen at a Birchwood show. I'll be honest, I've been really wanting the people of Lincoln, the people that have sort of seen both me and Rob, you know, from the very beginning, see us now and be able to go at it, because we've never really met on a Lincoln show. You know, we've never had an interaction, whereas Louth, it was our first show there. So not everyone was familiar with me or Rob, so it wasn't as big of a deal. For the people, it was a massive deal to me. Like, Gainsborough was the same thing, you know. The first show, I was the first match against Mr. Williams. Next match, I was in the main event for the heavyweight title on the next show. So that was quite a cool jump. But, match three, I really want to happen soon. I mean, there's, of course, Destiny coming up, the two shows in one day on April 2nd, the Family Friendly and the Over 18 one. And Family Friendly, actually, it's just been announced. It's going to be myself, Kip Sabian, Alex Young for the junior heavyweight title. And as far as I know, Robbie X fits the weight limit. So I'm just saying, if I can manage to win that match, Robbie X, I'm just saying, I don't mind you challenging for it at all, because it seems to be that every time I face you, it's always you putting something on the line. It'd be very cool to defend something against you, and that junior heavyweight title is looking very good right now.
You heard that right here first, guys, so when that happens, you know where to come back and listen to. Let's talk now about wrestling memories. When was the first time you watched wrestling?
Wow. See, most people would say, oh yeah, I started at the Attitude Era or the Ruthless Aggression. I can't say that because I was still an infant. So my first proper rivalry actually was around 2009. Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk during the Straight Edge Society sort of thing. And I remember, because obviously still being quite young then, around 8 or 9. My first proper memory was when CM Punk sung Happy Birthday to Rey Mysterio's daughter. And because of me being so innocent and not sort of knowing the ins and outs of wrestling back then, I was just there at my telly, don't say that! How dare you! And I was getting so offended, but that made me so invested. And then, you know, when they finally had the big blow-off match at Over the Limit, which was hair versus mask match, that was I so was cheering for Rey Mysterio, and I was, you know, so into that match that it could have been an absolutely awful match, but I would have still loved to have seen CM Punk get his head shaved, which is weird when you think about it, because it's just a guy getting his head shaved, but because CM Punk was so into his hair, it was a much bigger deal. And that's a thing as well. You can know when someone is such a good performer because they can make something as almost as silly as getting your hair cut off seem like such a big deal, like it's the end of the world. So everyone tunes in because they want to see the bad guy have his end of the world. And, you know, and that's one of my sort of first memories. I mean, how I got into wrestling was because of Rey Mysterio, because back in my primary school when I used to live in Surrey, Spider-Man was my favourite superhero. And it was the mask and stuff that sort of attracted me. So when I saw kids walking around with Rey Mysterio action figures, I was like, oh, who's that? So I go and ask questions. And, you know, I hear about this sort of wrestling thing. And then, obviously, I can't watch it because I don't have the sort of programming. But eventually, I do get Sky. And then I tune into SmackDown, and it was what I wanted to do since then.
How influential has Rey Mysterio been on your moveset?
I've done a 619 before.
That was the big question.
I definitely don't do it as good as him, but I was very proud to do one like that. See, Rey Mysterio is a kind of guy that to me is one of a very safe high flyer, and when I say that, I mean he's more springy and jumpy than he is flippy. So he can springboard, he can bounce off literally every single rope and then hit a perfect splash, but you won't see him go over the top and try and hurt himself. That's why I think he's a really smart high flyer, and, you know, the mask and everything. He's such an influential kind of character, and he's such a, you know, you can sort of almost tell that even behind the mask, and he takes the Rey Mysterio moniker off, he's still a nice guy, which... if you can feel that someone's a nice guy when they're wrestling, you're going to get behind them.
Now, when one of the criticisms that some people have had about Rey Mysterio is that he maybe spent too much time as a babyface, too much time as that happy-go-lucky good guy. And have you ever had... Have you been babyface your entire career?
I have been with Fight Factory, yes.
Have you ever thought that it may be a direction that you would like to... I know, obviously, you don't have creative control yourself, but is it something that you've ever thought, you know, one day I'd like to explore these other avenues?
Well, it's about a year ago, I think, right? No, not a year ago, about 2 years ago, right before I won the Academy title, I wanted to do a sort of thing where... because... basically, if I sort of, you know, go back behind the curtain a little bit, it was either going to be myself or sort of Will Wilde that were going to do the whole bitter kid, you know, you're meant to be my best friend, kind of Batista Rey Mysterio sort of story. But, you know, I said to, you know, Hayden right before that, because he was putting all the plans together, look, I don't fancy being a bad guy. I just, it's not what I want to do now. And he was like, can you stop changing your mind? Because I kept going back and forth. But I was just thinking about it. And there's so much more, in my opinion, that I can do as a babyface before I took that dive into being a bad guy. And I definitely don't want to be a bad guy anytime soon. So I'll probably be the John Cena of Fight Factory. But that's fine because, you know, being a good guy is something that, you know, I wouldn't say I'm more comfortable with, because I have been a bad guy in places like Essex and stuff, and that's been quite fun. But being the rising star, Tommy Ryder, the guy that's, you know, comes out and he's sort of like this plucky underdog and he's, you know, crawling from the ground up. It's fun. It's fun to be that. And it's not just because I like getting thrown around because it helps my bumping. But it's just fun to be able to sort of be a character that I've grown up to be.
When we go to these shows, especially when we're at like the Birchwood Leisure Centre, basically any time that you're outside of the engine shed, it is family friendly entertainment for Fight Factory Wrestling. And how does being a babyface for a child friendly product work for you? Do you have a lot of young fans in the audience? The kids love you.
I'll be honest. I've been told a story before by someone that was working the merch desk, and this little boy with his dad went up and got a photo of me and said, "Dad, I want this one." The dad responds, but he doesn't even look like a real wrestler.
Oh.
So I thought, okay, but that was a perfect comparison to how much John Cena-like I actually am, because you can see the kids... They, you know, like you said, they quite like me. But the adults might not, because I'm still quite young. And to them, I might, you know, just be an annoying teenager. Because, you know...
But to the kids, because you are a younger guy, they can relate more to you.
Yeah, that's always something that I wanted to do, you know, and this isn't trying to sort of hype myself up at all. Like, when I first started doing this and became the good guy and became Tommy Ryder, I instantly went, you know what, I'm quite young and I'm not going out on the streets doing these ridiculous things. I want to be that guy that kids can look at and go, you know, wow. You know, I don't have to bow down to peer pressure. I don't have to go drinking or take drugs or whatever. I can push for my aspirations. And I don't want people to think that I'm trying to say, oh, those kids should look up to me. I'm aspiring to inspire, is the way to put it. And I'm trying to inspire every single, you know, little guy in the audience, even an adult, if they want to, you know, to sort of just follow what you want to do. Because Fight Factory is such an amazing experience, but they're going to help me push to that next level. But if I ever, and I've told Hayden and Becca this, if I ever got to, say, a WWE, TNA, New Japan, I would always tell everyone that I started at Fight Factory Wrestling. That's where I became Tommy Ryder. It won't ever leave. That's why I've got a pair of shorts that are in the exact logo of Fight Factory that say Tommy Ryder.
They are awesome.
Because then no one is going to forget where I came from, and I don't want people to.
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
Well, let's go, because we've sort of been, you know, holding on to that curtain slightly over the last sort of couple of minutes. Let's pull it back a little bit more. I'm going to push you. I said that I want to, you know, I said, is there any questions that you don't want me to ask?
Yeah.
You said no, so I said, right, I'm going to go all Steve Austin on you. Who is your best mate when that curtain is fully closed and behind it?
Will Wilde. You know, obviously, of course, when you sort of see the product, he despises me because, you know, I beat him for the Academy Championship and I don't think he's gotten a win over me yet. But, you know, behind the curtain, it's always, you know, me and him. Like, at the moment, he's having a bit of a break from wrestling. Maybe when this gets put out, he might be back. But for right now, as I'm saying this, he's having a bit of a break, you know, but I still care about him, you know. And it's always the case of, you know, we've done some stupid stuff together, right? And we've done the sort of generic kind of teenage thing. Nothing too bad. I'm still a good influence. But, you know, we've gone through a lot together. And, you know, at WrestleForce, where I'm booked quite often, we're a tag team. So that just shows you how sort of much that we are. We are good friends, to be honest. And we're each other's best opponents.
I think I once described you in another interview as the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens of Fight Factory Wrestling.
See, when you first originally posted that on it, I think it was a fan interaction page.
It was, yeah.
Me and Will were marking quite a lot at that because we thought, oh my God, that's so good. We really want to do that. But then, of course, during that time, I was in a best of three series with Aiden Drake. So I was kind of like, oh, well, Aiden's not that big to be Kevin Owens. So we'll definitely have it there. But no, I mean, me and Will, I've always tried to think of new ideas, how to be, you know, better performers and have those best matches. You know, the most recent match we've had together was, I can't remember. It was in Gainsborough. It was a Halloween special show. I should know it. I do apologise, Miss Rebecca. but it was, you know, on that day, I was told about an hour before that show that my nan passed away. And obviously, when I got told that, I kind of broke down. It was an hour before the show. So, you know, when you get to that hour before the show, normally wrestlers sort of sit by themselves. You know, they either eat or they chill out, get into that mindset of, you know, let's switch into that to that zone. But I couldn't because I had so much on my mind. So what I did was, you know, after speaking to Hayden and all sorts, I just went to Will and he gave me a big hug and he said, don't worry tonight, we've got this. And that was sort of like, oh, that's, you know, I'm going to do this now. I've got to. I can't not do this. So, and I wasn't pushed to do it at all. You know, Hayden and Becca said, if you don't want to do it, completely understandable. That's absolutely fine. We'll just, you know, we'll sort of find something else to do. I went, no. I'm going to have to do, I want to do this. because my brain would regret it so much, and I feel like I let my best friend down, and I'd want to have that match. So, you know, I go out, and me and Will put on, and in my opinion, one of the best matches I've had. And it was at that moment that after being brain busted by Will at the end after he lost again, and I sort of rolled out, I got backstage and I said, okay, I want to be a part of that Battle Royal that's coming on next. Because, and I was, and I did that Battle Royal, I got backstage, and I just went, well, I took a breather, and I kind of just sort of thought, you know what, my nan would have been happy I did that. Because, you know, I was wearing my pinks that night as well, which, of course, I aimed at my other nan, Nanny Beryl, who passed away of lung cancer. But, you know, it all had the same sort of, it was all about family. So that's why, you know, I wore that. And there was also a 10-bell salute before the show as well. It was lovely. But it just gave me so much inspiration for me and Will to just go out there and have one of the best sort of matches we possibly could. And I don't think we disappointed. Just a shame I can't watch it back.
Do you find that the people at Fight Factory Wrestling, you know, Dutch, Rebecca, and everyone else there are like an extended family to yourself?
Oh, definitely. Like, I've always... If I had to describe Becca in one way, it'd be wrestling mother. She has such a motherly instinct. Like, I was explaining that story earlier about the two people that were trying to sort of, not attack me, but very, very much disagree in a very bad way. But Miss Rebecca came in for the save. She didn't have to do that. But because, you know, she sort of sees me as, you know, well, I am young. She sees me as a kid. She wanted to jump in and save, you know, one of her trainees. And that's why she's so protective of us all. That's why, you know, I know that, and she's not probably not going to like me for saying this because this will kind of bypass a really hard woman persona. But whenever she has this role of don't bleed on the canvas or anything like that. I feel like that's just a way of saying, please be safe out there, but in a more of a serious tone. And I'm calling you out, Miss Rebecca, on that. But yeah.
I think that it's great that the thing I've found about Fight Factory Wrestling more than any other company that I've ever spoken to is that there is this sort of safe atmosphere there. There are when you have the really young guys on, they like for example Kai Anderson, which I still think is named after me and my co-presenter Maisie Anderson. You know, I've got my suspicions, guys, but no. When you see the young guys in there, they did an announcement before the match where they said, "Look, these guys are out here. They're trainees. This is a pre-show match. They have been taught the basics safely and securely in a safe environment, and this is what they want to show you. Do not expect to be taught. They're not doing the unsafe thing and teaching guys, you know, back suplexes off the top rope on your first week, I'm presuming."
No, yeah, we definitely don't. We make sure, sort of at Fire Factory, to really make sure that everyone knows how to do a wrist lock before they know how to do a Kinshasa. You know, we see way too many times that people come into the, sort of the academy, and I'm once again not going to mention any names, but people that kind of want to run before they can even stand. You know, they want to do flip pile drivers before they know how to put on a headlock. And that's sort of a thing where Hayden kind of reverts back and says, no. You know, we're starting off this, you know, the basics, because, you know, every single wrestler from who that I've spoken to or, you know, seen online can tell you that once you have the basics nailed and you know who you're going to be, wrestling is just like easy. It's not easy, but, like, you know, it's easier to pick up. It's easier to sort of go out there and be able to work and look really good while doing it.
I'm going to now move on to another question, which is kind of erring on the side of more of the personal side of Thomas than the Tommy Ryder, okay. And that is, you people who have got you on Facebook, like myself, will know that you've sort of spoke about it recently, about how you have anxiety issues.
Yeah.
And how long has that been affecting you?
About around sort of October the 1st body slams to cancer, so it's quite a while back. My sort of social anxiety issues came from sort of, it was a mix of things. I mean, I've never been the most confident guy. I was an obese kid, 11 stone before I was 11, you know, and, you know, things like that. Like when I first walked into, this is not a sob story, this is all facts.
Yeah.
You know, and first time I walked into primary school back when I first moved here to, not here, to Grimsby, the kids laughed me out of the room because of my appearance. And that, to me, instantly sort of made me feel so unconfident when I sort of, you know, would to look at myself in the mirror, you know. And I've changed it since. I feel like I'm a lot more than, you know, than I used to be. I feel like I've gotten more hench. But it's a very weird thing, especially because people will know that before, like, who have been there at before shows while we're doing the setup, I'm such a quiet person. I'm not a keep to myself in a rude sense. I'm a keep to myself as I'll shake everyone's hand, say hello, then get to what needs to be done, but stay completely quiet throughout all of it. That's how it was when I first started, but with Fight Factory, because I got so much more comfortable, I'm one of the lads now, you know? I can come in like, hi guys, how you doing? And that's brilliant. I mean, with outside shows, it's completely different. I'm so shy. Absolute, like, until I go out there, I'm scared. And then when I come back, I'm a little bit better because you've got that adrenaline, but then it sort of goes back to the same thing. And I mean, it's a weird situation to sort of be a wrestler and have social anxiety, because when you're talking to people about, you know, oh, what do you do mostly? Well, I'm a wrestler. How do you do that when you're wrestling in front of people? Well, see, I'm not Thomas. So it's not, Tommy Ryder doesn't have anxiety, unless I let him have anxiety, and I'm not going to do that. You know, you put yourself in that mindset of, you know, I'm a wrestler. People are watching me. And that makes you so much more confident to be able to go out there and just, you know, give it your all. And, you know, with sort of social anxiety, there's been loads of issues. There's been loads of sort of trust issues that I've had. I've never had a trust issue with an opponent or anything like that. This is like real life. I'm talking about real life. Wrestling is real life. But I've sort of grown sort of trust issues and stuff like that over my time, which is sort of stopped me from having decent relationships and things like that. So it's nice to be able to say it almost, I don't like this term because it's been used recently and I disagree with it, but wrestling to me is almost like a break from life, because when I do become a wrestler, everything else in my life doesn't matter. The exams, like I've just recently finished my mocks exams, they didn't matter because the shows before that, the week before that, I was three shows during a weekend, and then it was the mocks week, but I didn't care because I was wrestling 2 days in Manchester and then straight to Lincoln. It's so fun to be able to switch off your social anxiety. It's not possible to do that. I mean, as in almost hide it for a little bit, sort of keep it away while you become someone else and someone that you like prefer, you know. And that's not to say that I hate who I am, because I'm quite proud of who I am. But I definitely would prefer to have Tommy Ryder's confidence over the confidence I've got right now.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I'm going to pull the... I've been pulling the curtain back on your side, so I'm going to pull the curtain back on my side for a little bit. I've been on record as well and said that I've been suffering from anxiety issues for a couple of years now, especially since I've been at university. And I've always found that since I've been doing radio, it doesn't matter. When I get in a studio, when I get on a microphone, no one can tell, and everyone turns around to me and goes, but how can you have anxiety? You're on the radio for 8-9 hours a week. It's unthinkable that you would have anxiety issues, but it's one of those things where it's an escape. And do you find that when you head down to the ring and when you're in the ring, I don't want to say the anxieties disappear, but do you feel at home inside that ring, not to sound cliche?
I honestly completely forget who Thomas is. That sounds very sort of crazy, but I honestly forget any issues that I've had beforehand. And this is why sort of if two wrestlers have any drama. They say leave it, you know, behind the curtain or leave it outside the door. Because if I ever had a problem with anyone, I probably just wrestle, like, absolutely the same way. And it's the mentality of just being different to who you are. Because everyone says that your sort of wrestling persona should be who you normally are, but times by 10. Or, yeah, you know, if you're sort of on the bad side, times your, like, negative stuff by 10. And I like to think of myself, sometimes I am a bit one to have a bit of a temper tantrum. That's my bad side. But on the other side, you know, I like to do as much sort of charity work as I can. I like to help people as much as I can. I like to think of myself as, because of my social anxiety, a bit of an underdog in life. So I use that as the good side. And that's what makes Tommy Ryder. So there is a lot of me that goes into Tommy Ryder, but it's not, it's a lot more. It's kind of super me.
Now, you're quite young. You're still at the very start of your career, even though you've been at it for 4 years now. What do you find, are you critical of yourself? Do you go back and watch what you do, and where do you see improvements that you feel are needed?
Well, just to sort of give an example, I've seen my match with Lucas Archer that's like now on YouTube now with the whole Greed show, actually, about 7 times to look through every single thing that I did and say, oh, I don't like that. I really don't like that. I hate that. You know, it's always negative. And I always ask people when they watch it to give me negative feedback. Nothing that is like unconstructive, nothing just...
Constructive criticisms.
Yeah, you suck. Like, I don't want any of that. I kind of, you know, stuff to be able to improve on. And, you know, I've seen some stuff myself. I won't say it because I'm perfect. But no.
Yeah, and we don't want to talk about things, but but it's good to see that someone of your age is mature enough to realise that... And I hate to use that of your age, because you've been at this for 4 years. You're pretty much, you know, you're improving every day. Do you feel that you're improving show by show?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, like, when I first sort of got into that position where I was working more outside guys, you know, I realised myself, the more confidence I got in the ring, the better I got at performing. And, you know, I'd see myself sort of go from... I faced a guy called Oliver Peace at the first Body Slams. That was okay. And then skip a few months ahead and I faced Kaz Crash at Academy Rules. And I was like, oh my God, that was awesome. You know, everything I did was just like, I can't think of anything bad. You know, and I always make sure anyone who I'm against, I ask them afterwards, anything I could have done better. And it's kind of cool now because it's gotten to that point where people start asking me back. Like, is there anything that I could have done? And I think, wow, that's really cool. Like, I don't mind peeling back the curtain myself. Lucas Archer asked me a bit of feedback after we had our match. And this guy is on, like, What Culture Pro Wrestling now. He got changed in the same changing room as Kurt Angle. Got changed next to him, apparently. And, you know, and that's, wow, that's cool. So, you know, and obviously I won't mention the feedback, but... It's cool to think that someone would, of that sort of caliber, ask me how it all was, you know, and that just shows that there are, you know, it's either, it could be one or two things. It could either be they're just really humble, which is great. That's such a lost thing, because I've been told loads of things. I'm not calling anyone out. I've just been told a lot of things and think, oh, well, you know, wrestling can be a bit dramatic sometimes, but... It's cool to be able to be in a position where people will trust me to give them feedback.
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's yourself. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut Podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut Podcast. I'll say it 3 times, the European Uppercut Podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
What are the sort of core beliefs that Becker and and Dutch sort of instilling everyone at the academy from academy level through to main roster level, surely there are some sort of rules I'm not wanting to see a rule book of what they have, but what sort of beliefs do they want you to have when you're in that ring?
This is a rip-off of John Cena, but the three main words to describe it is genuinely hustle, loyalty, respect. Because they want you to work hard. Loyalty's a very good thing in wrestling. I've been told this quite a lot recently. You know, it's like when you sort of you've got a booking, but say for example, you've got a show that's like maybe two people will come through the door, but that's the show that's got you first. But then, I don't know, a show that's going to have like 2,000 progress will then come knocking like, oh, do you fancy, but it's on the same day as that show. You're going to have to say no to progress because you're loyal to those people because you've already given your services to them. And that to me was like, yeah, that makes sense. Why would I not do that? You know, and I had to cancel a couple of things lately, actually, because obviously Fight Factory are doing so well. So we're going all around the country, you know. We've got, you know, loads of shows coming up. I can't say all of them because there's so many.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got a couple in Cleethorpes coming up as well, sort of around, you know, where I live. So, you know, I've got that hometown. But another little thing, actually, I don't know if anyone's ever noticed this before. I always get the announcer to say Northeast Lincolnshire, because if I say Grimsby, I'm just going to, be booed instantly, and that's not what I want, so...
It's kind of like Dale Preston saying about how he's from Boston. As soon as you say Boston in Lincoln...
Yeah, exactly. You were saying earlier, if I ever went down a route of being a bad guy, I'd come out with a Grimsby Town Football Club shirt on. Just, I'd milk it. And my voice isn't Grimsby or Lincoln at all, but that's just where I live. I mean, you know, I grew up very close to London, so I've got that posh accent towards me. So whenever I say, I'm from Lincoln, I'm from Grimsby, people get confused. Because I've lived in Grimsby for about 8 years, and I don't think I've picked up anything from any Grimsbyan.
Let's talk now about Academy Uprising, the upcoming Fight Factory wrestling show taking place on the 17th of March 2017 at 7:30 p.m. This is going to be the best of the Fight Factory Wrestling Academy. The tagline is no nonsense, hard-hitting wrestling action, and it's taking place at the Hospital Club, St. Anne's Road, Lincoln. So, are you excited about the upcoming event?
I'm very excited, yeah. I mean, yeah, we've got so much promising talent coming up from the Academy, you know, as well as this new Academy premises, which is going to only help these shows grow. And I can mention a couple of matches that are going to be on there after they were announced on Sonable Dave Arzik's live streams, which you can check out on his Facebook page. One of them being women's champion Eliza Rowe facing the returning Ellie Rollins, which should be very interesting. We've got Bobby Boucher, the Regency, against former agency member DDI, European champion. And then we've got yours truly, Tommy Ryder, versus Draco Andrews from the Regency. And all those matches, you know, and sort of, you know, just for those three matches alone, for £5, am I correct, yeah? Because I've not got a poster in front of me.
I presume, yes, £5 a ticket, which is great.
Yeah, it's fantastic to be able to sort of, you know, have, and I know it's sort of tooting our own horn a little bit, but you've got to think, you know, bars open. You know, it's a night of just, you know, cool wrestling. Three matches announced already.
St. Patrick's Day, I believe, as well.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so it's the time for celebration. It's a time for a couple of pints, and we have got the bar open.
You have a match coming up on that card against
Draco Andrews.
Are you excited for that one?
I am. I mean, the last Academy show we had, which was literally just, you know, the Academy show returning to the Hospital Club. I faced Bobby Boucher of the Regency, and of course, going into that, I have currently a bit of a losing streak, and I lost that match as well, thanks to Draco Andrews. So this is going to be my chance to get a little bit of payback. Hopefully I can rearrange his teeth, and hopefully I can make him admit he's balding. So it should be... should be a good experience. I mean, he, you know, him and Bobby, as much as they are, you know, looked at as a bit of jokes, they do train hard. They do work really hard. And it's sort of, as much as they're sort of on the fence a little bit on what sort of side to be on, because you saw, of course, recently on the Greed show, which is on YouTube now, full show, Bobby and Draco faced Dutch in like a heavyweight title handicap match style thing. And of course they got obliterated, but the crowd were on their side for a little bit there. And I feel like they seem to enjoy that a little bit. So I'm sorry, Draco. I've got to get a bit of revenge. But hopefully you can sort of see the light soon, you and Bobby, and become our comedy acts.
And I think that's one of the great things about these Academy shows, is that they are so important to the development of everyone at Fight Factory Wrestling. We've seen how successful the over 18 shows have been at the Engine Shed, which have been absolutely great over the last couple of months. But you've still got to get down to these Academy shows and also the ones over in Birchwood and wherever you are in Lincoln as well, because there is, the Fight Factory Wrestling have evolved to be not only a family-friendly product, but also something for the adults on an evening as well. It's something for all the family at Fight Factory Wrestling.
Oh, absolutely. We always try to sort of cater to, you know, everyone. Like, our over 18 shows are definitely more focused on the wrestling aspect, you know, the really cool sort of, you know, wrestling style. I mean, if you, we've got our latest show, like Origins, all the matches are on there on our YouTube page as well. And, you know, we've got myself versus Flex Buffington in probably the best match ever. it was quite a cool experience. You know, Dutch versus Magnus on there as well. That was quite a cool experience to walk through the curtain and see Magnus just ready. Very big guy. A little thing as well, just to peel back the curtain again. As I was sort of looking through backstage sort of areas, because there's loads of little, you know, doorways to go in, I heard sort of a noise of football come from one of the rooms, and I went, oh, I might as well go in there. The telly's on. It was Magnus asleep with his iPad on. So I opened the door just to... No one go in there.
Yeah, you don't want to be going and bothering Magnus, do you?
Definitely not.
And that's a great thing as well with Fight Factory Wrestling, is that you can all put on these amazing shows without the need for... It's one of the things that Dutch said in his first interview with me. He said, like, we've had big names come in, you know, the likes of Joey Legend, Scotty Too Hotty. We had you recently had Magnus as well, but these aren't needed. These guys aren't needed to put on great in-ring matches and great stories throughout Fight Factory Wrestling. Your fans are here mainly to see you guys, which is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, at the recent Academy show that we just had, there were a couple of people there that for some reason didn't read the poster and didn't see it was an Academy-based show. So they were expecting guys like Paul Malin, Robbie X, you know, our normal sort of pros that appear. But after the show, they went from booing because it wasn't any of them to clapping. And that just shows how sort of us as Academy guys can really, you know, change your expectations. We can be as good as these pros that come in. Of course, you know, the people that teach us, they've got to be better than us or else they can't teach us. You know, and that sort of, that sounds arrogant. I hope it didn't sound like that way.
Oh, No. I can totally see what you mean. And bringing in these big stars is always a great thing, because it's getting the... I know I said earlier that they're not needed, but from the business side of things, getting these guys in is, one, improving like how you guys are able to perform in the ring. I remember speaking to Aiden Drake recently, and he mentioned about being in the ring with El Ligero and how being able to just being in the ring with him made him learn so much from that match. You've talked about being in the ring with Robbie X and how much you learn from being in the ring with him and Flex Buffington, and I'm sure, you know, Dutch is a veteran in his own right, but being in the ring with someone like Magnus, who has been around the world on the big stages, and it also brings in the casual fan, that may not come and check you guys out because there isn't the big name, but the hope is that you get those fans through the door and they go, oh, you know what, they come for the big names, they stay for the regulars.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I during the build-up to Origins, the amount of times that I asked, can I be on with Magnus, was ridiculous. But, of course, you know, Miss Rebecca, she has her plans, and, you know, they are, you know, it's brilliant. I mean, yeah, I hope I'm allowed to mention this. Miss Rebecca, you know, through all of Origins, did pretty much all of it herself. She arranged it all, you know, she thought of everything from that. And I've got to be honest, that was probably one of our most well-looked shows we've ever done. Because not only just the setup and everything, but just the way everything was organised. It was such a good sort of thing. And, you know, the fans we got in, there were some people with Lana Austin shirts on. So they came in for a Lana Austin. There were people that knew who T-Bone was, because obviously he just was on the WUK No More Contender tournament thing,
yeah.
On the WWE Network. Even though he went out first round, he's still a name, so people knew who he was. So that brought them in. And then what you seem to realise that is, even though Magnus was there, obviously a lot of people came for Magnus, not everyone, but you'd notice that it got to a point where, I'm not sure how much Magnus charged for his meeting, great, but you'd see that when we were all sat there, all like me, DDI, Ripper, there were a lot of people coming to all our tables while Magnus was getting sort of... He obviously had a line of people, but everyone still came to us before going to him, which makes it sort of show how much of an impact that we've had in Lincoln for people to still want to come and get our autograph before going to the youngest British world champion, like, in history.
What's the most memorable interaction you've had with a fan of the product? Surely you must have a story about someone coming up to you, and have you ever been recognised out and about?
I actually haven't. Never in all my life. Because obviously I don't live in Lincoln.
That's true.
But when I sort of... I have been told a story, though. Like I said, you know, good friend Will Wilde, he lives on Birchwood. So obviously around where we do our Birchwood Leisure Centre shows. He was in the bath and he had Spotify on, and my theme song, which is probably the most addicting theme song.
Yes.
Just, yeah, I even hate it now.
We are.
it just started playing, and he could hear from the window, "That's Tommy!" Not only did he cry a bit inside, but because his theme also came on and no one realised, but it was the fact that the kids were shouting, "That's Tommy!" The fact that they can associate that from just a couple of "We are, we are's" is almost exactly what I want. And it's this little things that get in people's head the most. It's like Daniel Bryan's yes chant. It's the word yes. And that people, whenever they chant yes, it's not only just because of that, but it's because of Daniel Bryan as well. But you'll hear a lot more people chant yes than chant Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've got to agree there. Okay, let's talk about the big one, the event coming up in April. It's only a couple of weeks away now. We're well on the road to WrestleMania, and that means that we're well on the road to
Destiny.
So how excited are you about this upcoming event?
Well, Destiny, as much as I say that Body Slams to Cancer is our WrestleMania, this show coming up, Destiny, it's on the day of WrestleMania. We've got some of our biggest, you know, matches and biggest, like, it's, in my opinion, the match that I mentioned earlier that's been announced, myself, Kip Sabian, Alex Young for the junior heavyweight title, was the biggest match of my quite young career, because there's so much going, you know, riding on it. And, you know, you can get your tickets on Fight Factory's website. You can get it from the Engine Shed's main website, General Admission. But, yeah, so at the start, you know, you've got the family-friendly style shows. And then later on in the evening when, you know, around sort of, I think it's around 6:30, when that all kicks off, it's the over-18 show. So it's almost, if people kind of have been to our shows before, imagine it like Birchwood time to normal Engine Shed time. That's kind of how we're doing it. So, you know, sort of like about 1:30 is the family friendly, and then so and so. But you can get to both. You know, there are tickets available for both. There's VIPs. I think the VIP one comes with being able to get to the Tower Bar to watch WrestleMania with the guys afterwards. Of course, we did that for Origins with Royal Rumble.
Yes.
And that was very successful. I had to leave early, sadly, because Engine Shed have got a bit of a tight rule because
of
my age.
Oh, yes.
So I had to leave before 11. So I wasn't able to hang around. But, you know, just talking, sort of going back to my match with Kip and Alex, you know, for a second. Everything, I don't know if you've seen Greed on YouTube yet.
I haven't yet, because I'm currently people who are regular listeners to this show and to Siren FM will know that I'm currently writing a dissertation, which is 10,000 words. I'm doing it on the heroes and villains in professional wrestling, linking it to theatre and drama and performance art. And that is due 3 days after WrestleMania.
Oh, God.
So my next few weeks and the last few weeks have been absolutely hectic. But you were saying about Greed, and it was such an amazing event.
Yeah. And, like, on that, you know, event, after I sadly took another loss to Lucas Archer, he did eat a Skyrider cutter, though, which is my new name for the cutter that I've been doing recently, thanks to Dell Mills. I grabbed the microphone and I told people that, you know, at the end of the year, my mum would have lost 75% of her eyesight. That is true. That's real. You know, that's not over-exaggerating for the sake of entertainment or anything. And the one thing in my real life that I really wanted to do was give my mum, because this is like a final year of having, okay eyesight. Because when I say 75%, by 25, she can only see outlines of things. So she's kind of only going to have to rely on sound, and she's not going to be able to see things very well. And this is also real as well. The day she got told, she did start crying, and she said, you know, how am I going to see my boy, you know, grow up and get to WWE? Cause she has a lot of faith in me. She's one of my biggest supporters, you know, and she was so upset. And, you know, when I said to Mum, look, on April 2nd, I'm going to become the junior heavyweight champion. That was a bit of character coming in there. And I shouldn't have probably said that, because obviously you're never too sure. But, you know, and it's things like that that are kind of, that's the time where wrestling gets real. Because I have to have something this year that my mum can remember. That's not to say make me champion. I mean, like, in life in general, my number one goal is to have something that my mum can remember before she can't see me. That, it sounds sad, but that's my goal of this year, you know. Like, on April 2nd, whether I win or lose, if I can have the match of my life for my mum to be able to go, you know, that was perfect, you know, and then, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd love to be able to watch WrestleMania tucked in with the Junior Heavyweight Championship, but if I sadly can't manage to get the job done, but I can make everyone proud and my mum proud, then I've done what I really wanted to do. And, you know, I'm striving to be Junior Heavyweight Champion, because I've got to be honest, super bad Kip Sabian, a guy that is a bit too much into woo-woo perfection for my liking. Sorry. And, of course, we've got the chosen one, Drew Alex Young. firing shots, guys. Of course, they are genuinely two of the best junior heavyweights in the country. You know, Kip Sabian's got, you know, he's best friends with, like, guys like Will Ospreay. And that's not all that makes him one of the best. Obviously, you know, he trains with the Knights quite often, and he's such a good wrestler, but he's also such a show off, and that's why he has both auras about him. Alex Young's a guy that, because he almost doesn't say much, is such more of a dangerous looking figure. He comes out with that, you know, that gold mask, you know, style. And I was watching, you know, him versus Ricky Knight Jr. from I think it was Civil War, first ever Engine Shed show. Yeah. And I just saw, you know, everything he did and how much he was willing to, like, hurt his opponent as well as, you know, take a beating. And it was just kind of like, wow, you know, if I'm going to be junior heavyweight champion, I'm going to have to go over the top and go over 100%, you know. But the thing is, with this losing streak I've got at the moment, that means momentum's not going to be on my side. You know, and I need to start winning. So, at Academy Uprising, I need to beat Draco Andrews. I need to just kick Bobby Boucher in the face, get rid of him, and I need to beat Draco Andrews. You know, and... But the thing is, then, as far as my knowledge is aware, that is the last show before Destiny. Unless I am mistaken.
I believe you're correct.
I think I am correct, yeah. But, so that means that if I don't win at Academy Uprising, which you can get your tickets for, obviously, that means that I've got a massive, massive hill to climb. Because recently, this losing streak's making me lose a bit of confidence, lose a bit of my edge. And the more I've got this sort of almost burden of this losing streak, the more I've got to worry about when it comes to April 2nd. And the family friendly show is where this junior heavyweight title match is happening. If in an ideal world, personally, I'd love to be able to win the title, be on the over 18 and defend it against Robbie X. That's what I would love. Will that happen? You guys are going to have to be there to find out.
One final question for you before we start plugging where people can buy tickets for Academy Uprising and Destiny. Is dream opponent, anyone in the world,
wow,
who would it be? Who do you want to be wrestling in, say that it doesn't have to be now, say 5 years' time?
Am I able to give three names?
Go on.
Zack Sabre Jr., because he's a guy that I've never been really used to the sort of catch, you know, lock-up style wrestling, technical wrestling. But I feel like being in the ring with Zack Sabre Jr. for 10 minutes and you'll learn so much of that. And that would be a great learning experience, as well as I know he kicks hard as well. Marty Scurll, another guy as well, you know, the villain. A guy that, you know, is such a... almost a mastermind of who he is, and he uses it to his advantage completely, and it's great. And I'm pretty sure this one won't be a surprise. Will Ospreay. Because, you know, I've been, you know, in the ring with fellow high flyers like Robbie X. Will Ospreay is the high flyer at the moment. He's the guy that when you think of high flying right now, you associate it with the aerial assassin. And he's a guy that I feel like if I was to, you know, bust out the best I possibly can, he's a guy that'd be able to make me do that. And because I know that if I can beat the best of the Super Juniors, you know, and a member of the Chaos Faction, surely that means New Japan's got to be looking at me. And at such a young age, they could say that, oh, maybe, you know, because even if it happened now, and say I somehow managed to pick up the win, which, yeah, would be pretty sweet. And in a few years' time, New Japan was like, you know, you just be... Because by a few years' time, I expect Ospreay to be one of the most main faces of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So to be able to look back as well and think, you know, you beat him, is almost the same as when Ospreay faced AJ Styles and then got that call up to New Japan. That's how I'd see it as. And like I said, if I ever got to a stage like that, I'd still be Fight Factory.
Well, you heard it here first, and you know who Tommy Ryder will be facing over the next couple of years. I have no doubt that you're going to take at least a couple of those names off your list one day. So let's talk about Destiny and Academy Uprising. Where can people get their tickets? The first one is Academy Uprising, 17th of March, mm-hmm. At the Hospital Club Lincoln. Where can people get the tickets, Tommy?
People can get their tickets through the Fight Factory Wrestling main website at www.fightfactorywrestling.uk. Of course, you go into the events section and you'll click on Academy Uprising. Tickets are, I think, only £5, which is a brilliant, you know, rate, you know, of money just for the matches that are already confirmed, to be able to sort of have those three matches for that, you know, short amount of money is just fantastic. It's St. Patrick's Day as well. The bar's open. Wrestling, hard-hitting wrestling, and alcohol. Can you really lose there? And, of course, we've got our Destiny shows, which is the same thing. You can get it on the Engine Sheds website, general admission tickets, of course, and you can get it also on the Fight Factory website as well. You know, same thing again. Go on the events, click on Destiny. There's so many ticket options as well. I mean, I can't remember them all off the top of my head, but there's VIP, which, you know, you can get into the Tower Bar to watch WrestleMania with the fellow wrestlers who are there. Of course, you know, there's the 2-day sort of ticket, and you get tickets for separate events and stuff like that. But honestly, I suggest if you're old enough, try and get there for both, because these two shows are probably, in my opinion, already sounding, from what I've heard, to be the best shows we've ever done. And obviously, I could say that about every show to put up, but this is going to be fantastic.
A big thank you to Fight Factory Wrestling, of course, and make sure that you go and check out both of those events. Well, three events, because there's going to be two on the day of WrestleMania, Destiny 1 and 2, over 18s in the evening, and a family-friendly show on the afternoon. Thank you very much, Tommy, for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Hey, you're listening to Robbie X. Make sure you check out European Uppercut Podcast. Robbie X.
Sometimes I get a good feeling. Tommy Ryder there, a brilliant interview. I was able to sit down with him for about an hour and 20 minutes, talk all about his career so far, his career aspirations, and everything to do with Fight Factory Wrestling. Make sure that you check out their upcoming shows, Destiny and Academy Uprising. Some amazing events coming up in the Lincolnshire area, but most importantly, make sure that you go out and support the British wrestling scene and your independent wrestling promotions. Thank you for listening to the European Uppercut Podcast, and thank you to Siren FM as well. And you can join us back here for the regular panel episodes of the European Uppercut Podcast from next week, and check out all our other previous shows right here on the Trending Topics Network. Go to trendingtopicsnetwork.com and look for the European Uppercut Podcast. But until then, I thank you for listening, and I'll see you all right back here next week.
Oh man!
God, mother of all European uppercuts!